Hello, this is David Wynne. It's Monday the 31st of October, and have I got a story for you? I feel the need to get this out there because I think I need to give my side of an incident that occurred this weekend at London's MCM Expo. Now, I'm not entirely sure what venue this is going to go out in just yet, but to give you a quick quickly cover who I am, in case anybody's listening to this who doesn't know. I'm a cartoonist. I write and draw my own comics. I do a comic called Particle Fiction. I am a part of Orangutan Comics, a sort of indie publisher, collective, studio, whatever you want to call it, from the UK. We exhibit at the MCM Expo every time. The show occurs twice a year, in May and in October. I've been doing it for years. Ian, the guy who runs Orangutan, has been doing it for 5 years. I've always been very complimentary about the show in public. I think that the audience that it brings in is a very good audience for comics people to try and reach. It attracts people from the whole wide spectrum of geekery, from comics through to manga, computer games, anime, role-playing games, all of it. And that's a good thing for comics people to be involved in, to try and reach out to people who, you know, may have an interest but have not had the opportunity to try different kinds of comics. And for that reason, I've always encouraged other comics creators to attend. I know for a fact that there are people who exhibit at that show that would not if I hadn't told them it was a good idea. We've never made money at the MCM Expo. That's an important point, because it's extremely expensive. While I do encourage people to attend in order to reach an audience, you can't feasibly make money at a show in that venue. While the tables are quite affordable in the Comics Village at about £40 a pop, the cost of refreshments at the venue on its own will come to more than that over the course of a weekend. The XL is a venue that generally plays host to things like the Great British Motor Show and so forth. And so the cost of in there makes a train station look cheap. Also, if you wish to attend, you almost definitely have to book a hotel. I have booked hotels in the past, and I live in London, because the transport network is not that reaches that venue is not the greatest. And when you consider how much a hotel will cost you in Docklands, you will understand that while we often take in excess of £300 over the table over the course of a weekend, all of that goes on travel, accommodation, food and drink. Now, I am in the lucky position, as a part of Orangutan Comics, that I don't need to pay for my table. I live in London, so I don't have to pay very much for my travel. I still see MCM as a huge drain on my financial resources. Even though I sell a lot of sketches, which is money that goes straight in my pocket. I have one book that I sell called Damnation, which I self-published, so again, that money goes straight in my pocket. I still end up spending more than I make normally. Over the last few years, I've often heard mention of there being a room that attendees with pro passes could go to where there were light refreshments provided, you know, cans of Coke, that kind of thing, and where you could get just away from the floor for 5 minutes without having to crush through the crowd. I've never been told where it was. The organisers do not go out of their way to let the exhibitors know where this room is. After having attended the show for a couple of years, I only found this room for the first time in May. It was known as the Green Room. In May, I was very pleased about this. I considered it something of a godsend. I was able to go and have a cigarette on a balcony. I was able to have a can of Coke or a cup of coffee. And when I say a cup of coffee, I'm not talking lattes, I'm talking instant Nescafe, all right, of the kind you get in that I've only previously seen in canteens, in warehouses, in jobs that I've done. But I considered this a wonderful thing. It was quite nice to be up there. I remember seeing the main organiser of the event, not speaking to him, but seeing him chatting with other comic book creators in that room in May. Knowing that that was there, with this event coming up, I decided, right, I'm going to set myself a goal. This year, I am going to break even, or this show, I'm going to break even. I made myself a packed lunch, so that I wouldn't have to buy any food while I was there, and decided, well, I would drink cans of Coke from that room, because obviously lugging drinks all the way across London, along with food and books and drawing materials, is not something you want to do. If the room hadn't been there, I would have done it, but knowing that the room was there, I did not. On the Saturday, this was fine. I went up to the green room. I drank two cans of Coke over the course of the day, maybe three. I had one cup of coffee, and I went up there to smoke cigarettes three times, I think. I did notice that they weren't very hot on making sure that only people with pro passes were going in there. On one occasion, I went up there, and as I stepped off the balcony after my cigarette, realised that I didn't have my pass on me, or that I'd left it on the table. But that wasn't a problem, because nobody had checked. On the Sunday, I went up there and was stopped at the door by a security guard who told me, no, only VIP guests, as in invited guests whose expenses have been paid for and so forth, were allowed in that room. When I asked why, and pointed out that I'd been allowed in there yesterday, and that as far as I knew, pro comic book professionals had always been allowed in there in the past, I was told that this had been changed on the Sunday, because too many people who were not on comic book professional passes had been in there on the Saturday. Now, as I pointed out at the time, wouldn't it have made more sense to simply do the job properly and check the passes in the first place than to clamp down on those who had done nothing wrong on the next day? Well, that didn't make me very happy. Add to this that on this weekend also, Ian Sharman, my editor at Orangutan Comics, had been informed by the organisers of the show that there would be £15 parking permits available for exhibitors at the show. Now, normally, for MCM Expo, Ian arranges to be dropped off at the show and picked up at the end. With all his books and so forth, because parking at London XL is prohibitively expensive. It's £50 for the weekend, and that is kind of ridiculous when, as I've already said, we make a loss anyway. But having been told that for £15 he would be able to park, he decided to drive. On arrival, he was told no, those permits were not available, that was all a mistake, and that he would have to pay. Which he have to pay the full price, which he did. The combination of these two things, and other things in the past, such as, for example, the organisers making no attempt to let us know what facilities were or were not available to us, such as the Comics Village generally being treated as something that is at the show on sufferance by the staff of the event, and various other things. This made my mind up at that moment. I decided MCM Expo was no longer worth the trouble. It's not worth the money, and it's not worth the time, and it's not worth the effort. I actually ended up having to take time off work unpaid in order to attend the MCM Expo this time. and so I tweeted about this. Now, what I tweeted... Hang on a moment, I should have done this beforehand. Sorry, let me pause this for a second. Okay, I've just looked up exactly what I tweeted on Twitter. I had three tweets. I tweeted, so, MCM Expo has now closed the green room to all non-VIP pass holders, determined to extort their exhibitors, I guess. That was one tweet, harshly worded perhaps, but it was how I felt. Between this, the fiasco over parking charges this weekend, and the general attitude towards exhibitors, I don't think I'll do MCM Expo again. I think that was reasonably fair, as a tweet. Finally, I tweeted, we pay to be here. There would be no show without us. And still, MCM Expo treats us like freeloaders over a few cans of Coke. Despicable. And again, harshly worded, perhaps, but I think fair. With regards to saying there would be no show without us, I don't just mean the Comics Village, I mean the exhibitors, obviously. I mean all exhibitors. They would not have a show without exhibitors. It's all very well inviting guests and so forth, but you have no show if you have no exhibition hall. What you have is a couple of question and answer sessions and a few signings, and I've been to shows that's all there was, and the attendance is pretty light. So, I tweeted these things, I returned to the hall, I sat down at my table, and was informed that someone had been looking for me. I thought very little of it. A short time later, one of the gentlemen who helps run the con came to the table and asked me, "Are you David?" I said yes. He said nothing else to me. He backed away, and another gentleman, in no kind of uniform or... the only indication that he was working at the show was an earpiece, presumably allowing him to communicate with other members of staff, stepped up to me and told me, "I need to talk to you." I said, "Okay." He said, "No, can we go somewhere else? I need to talk to you." I said, "What about?" He said, "I just need to speak to you." Now, not being an overly rude person, I decided to indulge this gentleman. I kind of had an inkling about where this was going. So I stood up, we walked away from the table, we went first to a corridor on the ground floor, then when that was quite crowded we moved upstairs to a corridor near the Euro cosplay room, and he asked me, well, I asked him, "So what would you like to talk to me about?" And he asked me, and I quote, "to justify your tweets." Now, I don't think I'm being unfair in suggesting that that's quite confrontational. I understand perhaps being unhappy with the things that I had said online. I understand wanting to talk to me about it. I would understand if someone came to me and said, "There seems to be some kind of misunderstanding, and maybe we need to work this out." I do not understand coming to me and asking me to justify my tweets, essentially frog marching me off the floor and trying to carpet me like a disobedient child. But anyway, I explained to him my various issues. His response to this was that the Comics Village apparently makes them no money. Apparently, the Comics Village is something that they do out of the goodness of their hearts to support the comics industry. My response to this was to ask him if I understood correctly what he was saying to me, which is that I should be grateful to be there at all. No, I want to make it very clear that the gentleman I was talking to in no way intended that interpretation to be made of his words in that context. However, I am completely unable to think of anything else that he could possibly have meant. And when pushed, he could come up with no other explanation, but still insisted that, no, I was just taking it the wrong way. I then explained to him that I did not appreciate being taken away from my table and told off for things that I had tweeted. At which point he said to me, and again, I quote, "I am the man who tells people off, and if I was telling you off, you would know about it." To which I responded, perhaps rashly, "I would like to see you try." Things went a little downhill from there. He became quite heated. he didn't like being challenged in this way. It's perhaps unfair to suggest this in the circumstances, but I think his masculinity had come into question in his own mind, and his face became very red, and it all became very uncivilised. What I think this gentleman didn't know is that in my day job, I spend an awful lot of time arguing. It's a large part of my job, is arguing with people making unreasonable demands upon me. And in such a way, I've learned to do so in such a way that I do not raise my voice, I do not swear, I lose my temper without losing my rationality. I honestly believe that what he wanted from me at that time was, when he took me away from my table, was for me to either grovel and beg for forgiveness, or to lose my temper to such a degree that he could have me forcibly removed. When it became clear that I was not going to do either of those things, he didn't know what to do. In the end, he ended up calling his boss, the man who organises the entire convention, who was very eager to see things resolved in a happy manner, and wanted us all to be calm and nice to each other. He didn't want to do anything about the problems, though. When I brought up the parking, he informed me that actually, as it turned out, there were passes available for the parking, and that Ian had been misinformed when arriving at the venue. So I asked him what he would do about this. He told me, oh, there's nothing we can do, because he's already paid, he's put money into a machine. Yeah, I was kind of flabbergasted by that response. He didn't even consider apologising to Ian. He didn't consider refunding the difference of £35. Now, this is a convention that is intended by in excess of 50,000 people, at charging £10 a go, and they can't find £35, or even the humility to apologise to somebody who they have wronged in this way. No. There's nothing they can do. They kept me away from my table for an hour. During that time, many interesting things were said. I found myself saying the same things over and over and over again, mainly saying that I did not appreciate being treated like a disobedient child, that I did not appreciate being dragged away from my table to be reprimanded, which they insisted they were not doing, but again, I see no other interpretation of the events that makes any sense. I found myself also pointing out that I would like to get back to my table, and I didn't see the point of this conversation. At which point they kept telling me, no, they just wanted a resolution. The resolution, of course, that they wanted was an apology. And since I see nothing that I have to apologise for, in fact, quite the reverse, that was not going to be forthcoming. Amongst the things that they told me during the course of this conversation, presumably to try and put me in my place, was that they mentioned that one of their most common complaints, I'm not sure why they told me this, but they mentioned that one of their most common complaints is about the queuing, that people have to wait so long to get into the event. The gentleman who first brought me off the floor, in fact, said to me, I don't care, this is a verbatim quote of the words the man said, I don't care if it takes 4 hours for people to get in, as long as we get them in. Our only job is to get them in. I pointed out to him that I know they've lost custom over the length of their queues, and he said to me, that's all right, we make the money back on the people who do come. That's MCM Expo's attitude towards its punters, just so you know. Just in case you're thinking about attending another MCM Expo as a fan, that's their attitude to you. They don't care if you have to stand in a queue for 4 hours, just so long as they get your money. If you're thinking about exhibiting at another MCM Expo, remember, that's their attitude. If you're a comic creator, you should be grateful that they allow you to exhibit. Just remember that, and weigh that up before you make your decision. In the end, I feel that the situation was resolved. I told them, this is resolved. I'm not coming back. That's the resolution. I will never be attending the MCM Expo again, as a fan or as an exhibitor, and unless it changes management. The there are plenty of other events for me to exhibit at. I will be at Thought Bubble at the end of this month. I will be, well, on the third weekend of this month. I will be at DemonCon this coming weekend in Maidstone. I will be at the London Super Comic Con at XL again in February next year. I will be at the Kapow Comic Con with Orangutan Comics. If I can, I'm going to try and make it to Bristol for the second day. I have plans for the Friday night, so it's all. But and those plans are in Manchester, so it's going to be complicated. But if I can get to Bristol, I will. And any of the other huge number of conventions that take place in the UK over the course of the year, you'll find me at many of them. There is no reason for me to attend the MCM Expo. There is no reason for me to spend that money and subject myself to that treatment. And there's no reason for you to do it either, just so you know.